Fishing like a local isn't just about catching fish. It's about connecting with the environment and the people who call it home. It's about hearing the stories and traditions that have been passed down for generations and sharing unforgettable moments with the people you meet along the way. Fishing like a local is having an experience that stays with you forever. And with Fishing Booker, you can experience it too, no matter where you are. Discover your next adventure on Fishing Booker.
This upcoming concert season will be all about the boots, and Tecovas is your stop for the best in Western style. Tecovas has seasonal and limited edition offerings this spring and summer, including men's and women's boots, apparel, hats, bags, and more. All Tecovas boots are made by hand in a time-honored tradition with timeless styles that are always on trend. And Tecovas has first wear comfort with little to no break-in period. It's hard to find this level of comfort paired with this level of style. Stop by your local Tecovas store, have a complimentary drink or two, that's WCB style, and shop new styles. The smell of fresh leather and friendly staff are at your service. Many stores even have leather custom branding to make your boots truly personalized, and with regular live music and events, there's no in-store experience like it. If you can't make it into a store, just visit tecovas.com, that's T-E-C-O-V-A-S.com. They offer free shipping on all boots, as well as free returns and exchanges, and ship right to your door. Go to tecovas.com and find your new favorite pair of boots today.
Welcome to the Casting Across Fly Fishing Podcast. I'm Matthew of castingacross.com, where I explore the quarry and culture of fly fishing. The 282nd episode of the podcast, and today we're talking about gear that you may very well want to carry for when the weather gets rough. Now, as this is being recorded, I am sitting in my office where it is warm and dry, but mere feet behind me on the other side of a window, there is a nor'easter that is raging across all of New England and other parts of the Northeast. We've got inches and inches of snow, we've got ice, we've got all sorts of nasty stuff, and there's not a lot of power. But what there is a lot of is water. And that got me thinking, if I were to go fishing today, which I am not going to go fishing today, but if I were to go fishing in conditions like this, what would be some of the things I would need? So I'm not saying that you are necessarily going to be fishing in the middle of a nor'easter, but when the water is high, when it might be raining out, when it could be a little bit windy, but you still want to go out and fish because, A, it's the only time you have. You know, say you set a weekend aside months ago and now you get to go out. Are you going to stay in the hotel or are you going to go and fish? Even though it's going to be harder, even though it's going to be wetter and a lot less comfortable, are you still going to fish? And for a lot of us, the answer is yes. Or do you want to take advantage of the fact that sometimes some really cool things happen, both in the way that fish behave and in the fact that there's not a lot of anglers when the weather goes sideways? And if that's the case, you certainly can get by and you can do just fine with your normal arsenal of gear. But there's some things that are worth having on hand that will be beneficial in a lot of situations and circumstances, but will be particularly helpful when the weather is bad, when it is precipitating, when the weather's a little bit gnarly, and when the water is up. So I'm going to walk through four or five, six of those today, depending on how quickly I get through the things I think are the most important. So that said, we'll start with number one. If you know me, there's two things I prioritize over most other things when it comes to having quality gear, and one of those is sunglasses. Now, if you are fishing in nasty weather or you're fishing in high water because of the nasty weather, there's a chance that it's not going to be particularly sunny out, but that doesn't mean that you don't get the benefits of one, eye protection, and two, polarization and glare reduction from wearing a pair of sunglasses. So I find myself wearing sunglasses almost all the time, and I can do that because I have different pairs of sunglasses with different types of glass that allow for different levels of light transmission. But all of my glasses essentially have the same few characteristics. One is that they are a sturdy frame, a comfortable frame, as well as glass. I have a couple pairs of plastic polycarbonate lenses, but by and large, I fish with glass because it's clarity. they're all polarized, and they are all going to be available as conditions change. One of the things I've mentioned before is, you know, we have no problem buying multiple pairs of wading boots. We have no problem with lots of different fly rods and reels. We need to have different pairs of glasses for different situations. So I have a couple of pairs of very low light polarized glasses. They are yellow lenses. You can actually buy essentially clear lenses, but it is important to have something that offers that polarizing and glare, which is effectively glare reduction, because one, you're going to get eye fatigue if you are squinting a lot. Secondly, there's a huge safety aspect to having polarized glasses. It's not necessarily about spotting fish. It's always kind of the kitschy selling point with polarized glasses. A, you can see the fish. There's so many times when you don't see the fish, but what you do is you see the subsurface structure, the subsurface terrain, if you will, that allows you to know where fish probably will be. But it also will help you find out where you need to step. And so having something over your eyeballs so you're not squinting as much, even if you have great vision, water with glare on it is going to make you squint if you don't have that. And secondly, you're going to get that eye protection, which is really, really important. And even the small things like the UV that still penetrates because there's clouds, those things will wear on your eye over time. But to have that glare reduction and be able to have that eye protection for your errant casts you may be making with bigger, wonkier rigs and presentations, as we'll talk about here in a moment. Those are helpful. Plus, you get the polarization benefits of being able to see through things a little bit better. Not going to be perfect if the water's chocolate milk, but it'll be better than nothing. So that's the first thing. Have a pair of high light transmission lenses. And so oftentimes it's going to be yellow. Sometimes there are lighter ambers, but you can maybe see some rose colors, like some pinky hues, as well as things that look almost clear, but they're polarized and they offer you some protection. That's a great thing to have on hand for when the weather gets rough and the water cuts high. The second thing is to have strike indicators on hand that are big. So I use a number of different strike indicators depending on how I'm fishing, depending on where I'm fishing, depending on how skinny the water is, depending how finicky the fish are, depending on how much I want to use that thing as a true strike indicator, how much I want to use it simply so I know where my nymph is, or if I want something else that gives the fish an opportunity to see another fly. So in those situations, you know, I'd use a dry fly, so a dry dropper rig, and that dry fly is my strike indicator, but it also is a legitimate opportunity for that fish to see another fly presented to it. When I want something to simply know where my fly is, then I'll use some of the less finesse options. Stick-on indicators, for example, would fit into that, where they're perfectly fine as strike indicators, but because of their shape and because of the way they go on, I'm going to use them more for knowing where my fly is. And then when it comes to true strike indication, the thingamabobber style indicators, I think are about as good as it gets. I haven't used a lot of the yarn style indicators, things like that. It's just not been something that I've spent a lot of time doing. I'm very, very content with thingamabobbers, as well as, going back to that first example, the second example, just knowing where my fly is, but then also really using my fly line as an indicator. There are slide on segments of hollowed out fly line that are really good indicators that they work in a lot of situations. But what I'm saying is have big, bulky indicators. So sometimes what I would say the best example of this is thingamabobber is, you know, kind of a brand name, but we all know what that means. It's a plastic bubble that you're able to attach your line to, and have some that are bigger than you would normally use. Now, these will come in handy in a number of situations, in a number of, you know, season-long circumstances. It's great when the water is fast and high and when it is hard to get visibility. And that's another thing. If you like fishing in the snow, get pink indicators. White indicators are virtually useless in the snow, and they're almost useless when it is low light conditions. So first thing in the morning, end of the day, going into the night, because the glare is white-ish. It's white-hued. I like pink indicators. I think they're easy to see. And if you think, oh, fish are going to be freaked out that there's something pink floating over it, you know, how much pink power bait do fish eat? How many cigarette butts do fish eat? They don't care. When they look up, all they see is dark. And there's not a whole lot of surface tension being broken by even a shooter marble-sized indicator. But it's not worth freaking out about. And if the fishing is so finesse that you are worried about the size of your indicator, you're probably not going to need a giant indicator anyway. So it's really a moot point. But I like to have some of the largest thingamabobber style indicators that they make, just one or two in my pack for one, when the weather is nasty, so I can see the thing no matter what other sort of precipitation is going on, and second, so that it will float when the water is choppy and gnarly because the water is high, or simply because it is a more rapid part of the river. So I might be using a normal size, like smaller than a marble, kind of the size of like a push pin head, a thingamabobber on most of the water. But then I get to a particular run where the water is high and choppy, and I want to still have a drift I can assess by watching my indicator drift. And so I'll switch over to that big one. And most of these, the way they attach, you're able to interchange them, move them as needed very, very quickly without kinking your mono or your fluoro on your leader. So just to have one or two of those, buy one package of the biggest ones that you might look at that thing and think, I am never, ever going to use that. And you know what? For $4, to have the peace of mind, to have that in your pack for when you do encounter a situation, I think it's okay to shell that money out. Because you're right, you're not going to use that in most situations, but when the weather is nasty, both for a visibility standpoint and also to add that extra level of float when the water's choppy, it's nice to have some of the largest strike indicators that are out there. So the first thing is polarized glasses with high light transmission. Second is big old strike indicators. The third thing is either sinking line or polyleaders. Sinking line or polyleaders. The flexibility that you get when you have something beyond floating fly line, it takes your opportunities to a whole new level. So I like to carry polyleaders on me all the time. Polyleaders, once again, are short sections of a loop-to-loop fly line that are 3 to 5 feet long with different sink rates added to them. So they are a heavy chunk. They're not super fun and easy to cast, but they're better than not being able to get your fly down or having to put so much split shot on that now that's hard to cast. You know, everything besides a true sinking or sink tip line is going to be a burden to cast. You're never going to have some sort of weight situation, weighted fly situation, or weighted tip, like addition, polyleader situation that is perfect. They're all going to be a bit of an encumbrance in your cast, but you get used to them and it's better than not being able to get your fly down. I feel like having a polyleader, short of switching your fly line out completely, which I'm going to advocate here in a second, is your best option. I prefer it to super heavy flies, because now you don't have to carry a huge diversity of flies. And two, I prefer it to split shot because split shot is a necessary evil, in my opinion, for most situations. If I just need a tiny little bit of weight on a multi-nymph rig, then I like using it. If I need it because I just need to get my fly down, I would prefer to use something else. I'd prefer to have my fly line getting my fly down, if at all possible. Now, again, this is in the context of not a nice, rosy bluebird day. This is in the context of the water being high and knowing that you need a lot of weight to get your fly underneath the surface and getting it in front of where you think the fish are feeding. And so to have your line being a primary influence and not something that's going to be negating that by wanting to pull it up constantly as it is being drug along with that current, having that polyleader attached on the end is very, very helpful. And how much space does this take up in your pack? Almost none. If you carry a leader wallet, which I would suggest carrying a leader wallet, you know, that's a good idea for a show. What's in your leader wallet? Anyway, I would say having polyleaders is a great way to give you that diversity without changing up your equipment significantly and without a whole lot of cost. This is also, again, something that will be beneficial for you as you're encountering normal angling situations throughout the rest of the year. You might have a run where that split shot just isn't getting things down enough. You might have a pool where you want to strip your fly through it, and that weighted streamer, although it is dropping down, the floating fly line that you're casting is creating, again, the averse action, as every time you strip it, it's moving that fly up in the water column as opposed to laterally in the water column to the degree that you would want to find some sort of change. So a polyleader will mitigate some of those problems. But of course, the best situation, and if you can afford another spool, and I would say if I were to choose between having a really high-end fly reel and a good fly reel with a second and maybe even a third spool, I would go with that latter option because it gives you a lot more flexibility to fish in different situations. So if you can carry a spool of sink tip or sinking line, then you're going to find so many uses for that. It's not something that we talk about a lot in trout fishing, especially out here in the East. But just to get that line down underwater a few inches a second does tremendous things for your streamer fishing in particular. And when you're fishing high water, nasty water, in a storm, things like that, that's going to be a technique that you want to employ. I'm not seeing any sort of empirical data, but just anecdotally, I catch more fish on streamers in places that I don't see during bluebird weather when the weather is nasty. I feel like the illusion of it being dusk or dark makes bigger fish come out and play when it is incredibly overcast. I mean, they did not get to be big by being stupid. So whether they are primarily the nocturnal or they simply choose to feed when it's darker, I think there's something to be said for fishing streamers when the water is high and it is overcast, which kind of fits into this paradigm of the fishing that we're talking about today. So fishing a streamer, having that sink tip or that sinking line is great. So that's something to certainly consider adding to your repertoire of trout angling gear, having a sink tip fly line. I think I have one for like my 6-weight setups and maybe a couple others are around there. But when I know that's going to be in the cards, then that 6-weight is the weight that I really see as my bottom end for functional trout streamer fishing. You can certainly get, you know, sink tips for 3-weights and 5-weights and things like that. But 6 is about as light as I like to go for throwing streamers of small, but certainly medium and larger size. And heavier rods, you know, I have an 8-weight setup for trout as well that has a sink tip because there's sometimes we're on larger rivers, even out here on the East, where I'm going to be throwing large streamers and that weighted line where I need an 8-weight to get into it. And if you get into those 16-inch fish, it's not going to feel like you're using a broomstick to reel them in. It's definitely a worthwhile venture to fish those heavier weight rods when you're fishing larger streamers. And again, any benefit you get when the weather is nasty is big. Would you rather cast that lighter rod and fight against the wind and fight against even the rain and snow hitting your line and your body as you're casting and all the extra effort that goes into that because now you get to play a fish on a 5-weight or jump it up to maybe that 7 or 8-weight? And it's really just back into a back cast and then pow, you're making that presentation and your rod's a little bit stiffer, a little bit heavier. But once you get into a fish, you're not going to, you know, regret, oh man, I wish I would have had my 2-weight out here fishing in this nasty weather. Anyway, so again, glasses, the polarized glasses with the highlight transmission, the largest strike indicators you can find, then polyleaders or sink tip fly line on an extra spool. Now, this one is not gear per se from like the stuff that you're going to be using to catch the fish, but it's something to keep you happy and healthy. And that is a waterproof hat. A waterproof hat. Now, why a waterproof hat? Of all the things, why a waterproof hat? Well, you should have a waterproof jacket, but to have a waterproof hat is actually really, really beneficial. Now, whether it's a waterproof baseball cap, and I've got a couple of those that I have for duck hunting. And I got them for duck hunting because I want to have my ears completely unencumbered. So whether I am not using hearing protection before I start actually shooting, or once I have shells in and I'm looking at the skies with my ear protection on, I don't want a hood going up against the receiver, I don't know what it would be, on my headphones. Similarly, I don't want it brushing against my ears and creating interference, particularly if I have that sound amplifying ear protection on. I don't like having stuff on my ears when I am hunting. And so what I did is I bought a hat from Drake Waterfowl Gear that is a waterproof camouflage hat. and it is like a Gore-Tex material, and it just looks like a ball cap, a little bit more rigid than most. And by wearing this, as it drizzles, yes, my face gets a little bit wet, but that's why I grew a beard. But then I've got my collar up almost right to the back of my hat, and then right under my ears, and down up zipped up to my chin. But my head's not getting wet. And what did Mom used to always tell you before you got dressed to go and play in the snow? You know, 98% of your heat escapes through your head, or something like that. Well, I'm not sure the exact number that's associated with heat loss from the dome. I know it is legitimate, and I know that having a hair and face and head that is totally soaked is not a fun place to be. And so to have a waterproof hat can actually give you a remarkable boost in your comfort when you are fishing in rain, sleet, snow, or hail. Now, a beanie could be helpful, but I love having a hat bill, like a ball cap bill, or a wide brim hat. So you could wear, you know, a cowboy style hat. You could wear one of those Tilly style outback looking hats, whatever covers up your glasses so you can keep fishing with those polarized glasses. You're going to keep fishing with those polarized glasses even though the weather is super gnarly, because they are not going to be getting covered in every water that splashes. Every little bit of snowflake, anything like that, is being deflected by the brim of that hat. So it kind of kills two birds with one stone. Can you fish with in the nicest summer months with and get soaked and still be okay? Yeah, probably, but I prefer to be dry if I can. And so as important it is to have a waterproof jacket, it's, I think, just as important to have a waterproof hat. That will kind of round out that ensemble. You probably have a waterproof jacket anyway. So this is just something you can add to it. Again, you're talking $20, $25 for something that can be really, really beneficial. Keep your head dry, your head warm, even if it's warm outside, to not have it soaking wet, but then also to keep that water and that mist and that spray from getting as much on your glasses as if you weren't wearing that. So four simple things. Nothing in that list was, you know, incredibly expensive, particularly when you talk about strike indicators and the hat, super cheap. Polyleaders, very inexpensive. Now, getting another spool and getting another fly line, that adds a little bit of cost. And then a good pair of sunglasses isn't going to be cheap. I think, you know, those are my two things that I mentioned at the outset of the podcast that I think are worth spending money on. Good fly line, good sunglasses, because they are going to take your fishing at a perceptible level up a notch. But do you have anything that you would add to this list? There's so much more you can add. I mean, the type of shoes that you wear, the type of raincoat you have, even the action of the fly rod when the weather is really nasty. Lots of rain, wind, high water, things like that. Even your fly assortment. But there's a very good chance that adding these things to your gear bag will give you a step up, not just in nasty weather, but in different angling situations that you encounter as you fish throughout the year. Let me know if I missed something that you think is essential. Matthew@castingacross.com. Always happy to hear what you have to say. This week's articles. The first one is called Six Simple Fly Reel Maintenance Steps. Six Simple Fly Reel Maintenance Steps. So here I walk through six simple fly reel maintenance steps. One of them has to do with fly line, but you can't work on your reel and not mess with your fly line. If you keep a well-made fly reel tuned with just a little bit of maintenance, it's going to last you a lifetime, especially if the thing is mostly metal. Even with die-cast stuff, and even with some plastic parts, as long as the core mechanisms and the core body are metal, you're going to be okay if you just take care of it a little bit. And for most trout angling, that care requires like opening the thing up and blowing on it. So I go through some steps that are a little bit more involved in blowing on it in that article. Wednesday's article is called Bread, Milk, and Egg Patterns. So this nor'easter they actually forecasted came about. So when I wrote this piece called Bread, Milk, and Egg Patterns, I was skeptical this was going to happen. Well, here it is. But this talks about fishing in nasty weather, particularly in weather of this kind, and times where I've made maybe some not so wise decisions, but how those not so wise decisions sometimes have paid off pretty well. So you can check out that article, actually all those articles, over at castingacross.com. This week's recommendation, I'm just going to swing on back to something I mentioned in the podcast, and that is the Drake Waterfall Waterproof Camo Cap. So right now, it's only in two patterns. One is Bottomlands, that's the color I have it in, and the other is Shadowgrass. And you know what? If you're not a camel person, I guess you're out of luck, but are you trying to impress the fish, or are you trying to stay dry? I'm sure there are other waterproof hats out there, but this is the one that I've used. So again, for $24.99, I think it is definitely worthwhile. It is a little bit more stiff than a normal baseball cap, but it works, and I have really appreciated it. And it's got great reviews over on their website also. So I will put a link to the waterproof camo cap from Drake Waterfowl over at the show notes of this podcast page on castingacross.com. Thanks for listening to the Casting Across Fly Fishing Podcast. Please subscribe in your favorite podcast app and rate the podcast in iTunes. Then head over to castingacross.com for 3 posts a week on the people, places, and things that go into the pursuit of fish.